The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 12, texts number 16 and 17. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on April 11th, 2015, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavat. Te Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anapeksha Shuchi Daksha Udasina Gata Vyata Sarva Arambha Parityagi Iya Mati Bhakta Sa Me Priya Anapeksha Shuchir Daksha Dasino Gata Vyata Savarambha Padit Yagi Yomad Bhakta Samipriya Anapeksha Shuchir Daksha Dasino Gata Vyata Savarambha Padit Yagi Yoman Bhakta Same Priyaha Anapeksha Neutral Shuchi Pure Daksha Expert Udasina Free from care Gatavyata Freed from all distress, sarva-arambha, of all endeavors, parityagi, renouncer, ya, anyone who, mat-bhakta, my devotee, sa, he, may, to me, priya, very dear. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My devotee, who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. Purport. Money may be offered to a devotee, but he should not struggle to acquire it. If automatically by the grace of the Supreme money comes to him, he's not agitated. Naturally, a devotee takes bath at least twice a day and rises early in the morning for devotional service. Thus, he is naturally clean both inwardly and outwardly. A devotee is always expert because he fully knows the essence of all activities of life and he is convinced of the authoritative scriptures. A devotee never takes the part of a particular party, therefore he is carefree. He is neither pained because he is free from all designations. He knows that his body is a designation, so if there are some bodily pains, he is free. The pure devotee does not endeavor for anything which is against the principles of devotional service. For example, constructing a big temple requires great energy, and a devotee does not take to such business if it does not benefit him by advancing his devotional service. He may construct a temple for the Lord and for that he may take all kinds of anxiety, but he does not construct a big house for his personal relations. I'll go ahead and read the other verse and then I'll speak on both of them. Yona hrishatina dveshti nasochati na kankshati subhashubha parityagi bhaktimanya same priyaha. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. Purport. A pure devotee is neither happy nor distressed over material gain and loss, nor is he very much anxious to get a son or a disciple, nor is he distressed by not getting them. If he loses anything which is very dear to him, he does not lament. Similarly, if he does not get what he desires, he is not distressed. He is transcendental in the face of all kinds of auspicious, inauspicious, and sinful activities. He is prepared to accept all kinds of risks for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Nothing is an impediment in the discharge of his devotional service. Such a devotee is very dear to Krishna. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shibhishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadesha Tarine. This is really amazing. The person described here, a devotee, he's such an amazing person, the devotee. All these qualities. Can you imagine a person like that? Such amazing qualities. And because of these amazing qualities, he's very, very dear to Krishna. So, one might ask, what's in it for me if I become dear to Krishna? Well, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He's the source of everything. Everything is happening under his direction. He's the supreme controller, the supreme proprietor. So to have a good relationship with him means you're in really a good position. That's really a good position to be in. Just like if you live in some country, you know, and you're good friends with the king, you're in a good position. Your best friend is the king, you see. And you're your dearmost associate. Then you're in a very good position. So if you can be in good with Krishna, who's the supreme enjoyer, the supreme controller, the supreme friend, you're in the best position you could possibly be in. So here is described how you can become very, very dear to that person who owns and controls everything.
What about the rest of the people?
Questions we'll take at the end. I appreciate your mood. That's nice. One should be in an inquiring mood. So please make a very good mental note of your question. At the end, we'll have a nice question and answer session. You'll be the first one to be recognized. You're number one. So, how then do we... First of all, we have to understand this mentality of a devotee. Wow, this is an amazing person. He's completely cool in all circumstances. He never loses his cool. No matter what happens, he's happy. He's in peace. Because how is it a devotee can be like this? So equipoised, you see. Can totally equipoised. How can he be this way? In this world, we're being bombarded with so many dualities. Happiness and distress. Fame and infamy. Health and sickness. Poverty and wealth. Heat and cold. It's like it's very hot today. And last week we had a hailstorm and all the car windows were busted out. Anybody who had a car parked out here a week ago, their car windows are finished. Heavy hail, like this, huge chunks of hail. The dualities, you see. So how do you be equal to all of this and always be peaceful and happy? Well, you have to find your happiness within, in your relationship with Krishna. This is the key. Because Krishna is always beautiful, he's always powerful, he's always renounced, he's always wealthy, he's always famous, he's always the supreme wise person. Krishna is never fluctuating. You may have a friend, you know, but sometimes they're in a bad mood and they give you a hard time, you see. They go, they're moody. But Krishna is never like that. Krishna is steady. He's always the supreme well-wisher. So, if you can make a relationship with Krishna, you're always going to have that wonderful security of knowing, I have a relationship with Krishna, and he's protecting me in all circumstances. I just heard an amazing story yesterday from Bhanubhatta Prabhu. I can't remember all the details. It was so vividly he described it. But he was preaching in South America. He was up on some mountain trail. Actually, he went up looking for some water. And he heard a stream. And some bandit approached him with a knife. He said, give me your money or I'm going to kill you. And then his friend came out with a big club. They were going to kill him. It was so heavy. He had learned when he was in Japan with Guru Kripa Maharaj some mantras, some Shinga mantras. So he thought, that's it, my life is over. If I try to run, they're just going to stab me in the back. That's it, I'm going to leave my body now. He just stood there and started chanting the Shinga mantras. And he had like a mystical experience. All of a sudden he saw this whole other world. He said he saw the Lord. Saw this whole other world, and he was completely peaceful and happy. And then he opened his eyes, and this thief was like, he was knocked to the ground. Lord Nrisimhadev did this number on the thief. He was laying on the ground, and then he was begging her, please, please forgive me. So just by taking shelter of Krishna, you see, the thief is going to kill him. And then the thief ends up falling down and begging forgiveness. You see, devotee, Krishna protected him. So, a devotee is completely putting himself under the protection of Krishna. My dear Lord, now I'm under your protection. You can kill me or protect me, whatever you like. I'm simply your property. If you want to kill me now, that's all right. This body belongs to you. If you want to kill it, fine, go ahead. It's yours. Do what you like with it. Or you want me to live for 500 years? I don't care. Whatever you want to do with me, I'm ready, you see. In this way, the devotee is completely putting himself under Krishna's protection, direction. Whatever Krishna wants from me, you see. There's actually one story like that. There was one king and he had a prime minister. Prime minister was very Krishna conscious. He would always say, whatever Krishna does is all right. So, one day the king had a little accident, he cut off his finger. The prime minister said, don't worry, your majesty, whatever Krishna does is all right. Oh, what do you mean is everything all right? In the dungeon, you rascal, I lost my finger, you're saying it's all right? In the dungeon with you. So, the prime minister went to the dungeon. So the Kshatriyas, they would go to the forest because they have to. They were not cowards like the politicians nowadays who run to the bunker when the enemy comes and send the young men on the battlefield. They would lead the battle, risking their lives to protect their citizens. So they have to always be expert at killing, so they would go to the forest, and if there's some wild animals harassing the sages, they would go and kill those animals to practice the killing art. So they're always ready to kill if they have to, when an emergency comes, kill an enemy. So the king, he was on a hunting expedition in the forest, and he was captured by some dacoits, devotees of goddess Kali. And they were going to make a human sacrifice of this king, the goddess Kali. They had him all ready. They gave him new clothes and his last dinner. But they noted, oh no, he's missing a finger. We can't offer him the goddess Kali. She'll be furious. We can't do this. So let him go. So he was thinking, oh, the prime minister said whatever. I lost my finger, but it saved my life. Oh, the prime minister was right. Whatever Krishna does is all right. So he went immediately back to the palace, went down to the dungeon. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry. I put you in prison. Why are you not angry with me? He said, well, your majesty, I always go with you on those trips and I have all my fingers. Whatever Krishna does is all right. So a devotee is like that. He's very cool-headed, you see. You can give him millions of dollars. He doesn't become carried away to spend it on sense gratification. You can put him in poverty. He'll just peacefully chant Hare Krishna, you see. Whatever his position. He may be a lawyer fighting in the Supreme Court, you see, for a case. He may win or he may lose. But he sees, oh, it is all the arrangement of Krishna. I will try to win, but if I lose, why should I be disturbed? Krishna wanted me to lose this one, you see. He simply always endeavors to please Krishna in all circumstances, and whatever result is there, all right. That is by Krishna's arrangement. You see, ultimately, everything that is going on is by the arrangement of Krishna. Here we are in this material world at the present moment. It is going on under the influence of Durga Devi. But actually, Durga Devi is a pure devotee of Krishna. She's the warden of the prison. Everything happening here is actually ultimately under Krishna's direction to rectify us from our independent, ridiculous, you know, rebellion against the Lord, to help us realize I have to surrender to Krishna. So whether you're in the spiritual world or the material world, Krishna's arrangement is happening. His perfect arrangement is being made for you in every situation. At this very minute, 10 minutes from now, 2 days from now and for all of eternity, under the orchestration of Lord Sri Krishna, every single situation you find yourself in is being perfectly orchestrated by Krishna for your benefit. So therefore, a devotee never becomes depressed. He sees the loving hand of Krishna blessing him in every situation. He's never depressed. He's never disturbed. He's always happy because he feels how Krishna is blessing him and protecting him in all circumstances. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. And this is the consciousness that we need to have if we are going to be happy. Any state of consciousness other than this state of Krishna consciousness is an illusion. We're not seeing the reality that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he's simply arranging everything for his devotees in this world of birth and death to come back to him as soon as possible, because he misses us. Each and every one of us is very special to Krishna. Just like to the parent, every child is very special. So we are all the children of Krishna. And every one of us is very, very dear to Krishna. We're all special kids of Krishna. And he wants more than we can even begin to fathom to the slightest infinitesimal degree. Krishna wants each and every one of us back in his kingdom as soon as possible. But he's not going to force us. He doesn't want prisoners. By force, he drags us back. No, we have to desire to go back. So, how do we get the desire to go back to Krishna? We have to hear from the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita. We have to hear from the spiritual master. We have to hear from the Vaishnavas. Because through this process of hearing from scriptures, from sadhus and from gurus, we can understand that I am presently in an artificial situation, misidentifying myself with a material body which is being forced by the laws of nature to get sick, to get old and die, which are not at all part of the nature of the self. We've accepted a false self as the real self. And this false self has qualities just the opposite of our real self. Therefore, it's not possible for us to be happy in this material existence. Even if you become a big, big successful person here, actually there's nobody happy here. Everybody is miserable in this material world. So, by hearing from the devotees, by hearing from the spiritual master, by hearing from the scriptures, we gain insight into who we actually are beyond these rotting temporary bodies. We gain insight into the eternal nature of the soul, which is full of bliss, full of knowledge, never gets old, never gets sick, and never dies. That's our actual identity. So by hearing about Krishna, by talking about Krishna, by bowing down to Krishna, by serving Krishna, by taking the prasad of Krishna, all of these activities pull us out of our state of amnesia that we're in the present moment. Many years ago in Dallas, Texas, one gentleman was from a well-to-do neighborhood, was out taking a walk in the neighborhood like people do sometimes. And some funny thing happened in his brain. And he went into a state of amnesia. He totally forgot who he was, where he lived, or anything about his identity. And for days and days and days, he wandered about. He didn't know what to do. He lived on the streets. Until one day, some friend saw him and said, "Oh, we've been looking for you. Get in the car, I'll drive you home." So then he went to a psychologist and they gradually brought him back by associating with him, or having him associate with those things which were his identity, his wife, his dog, his house, his scrapbook, his family history. They let him see and associate with those things which are his actual identity, and by doing that, gradually he came back and realized who he actually was, you see. So in the same way, this process known as Krishna consciousness is not something artificial being imposed upon you. It's taking you in your amnesiac condition, or you've totally forgotten who you are, and it's reminding you, hey, you're not that body. You're the eternal servant of Krishna. You're from a place called the spiritual world, where all these different kinds of activities are going on, and here's what they do there, and you were one of them. Now we let you do, even here in this world, the activities that are done in the spiritual world, like bowing down to the Lord, by hearing about the Lord, by talking about the Lord. In other words, there's devotional service in realization, and there's devotional service in practice. Practice is called Vaidhi Bhakti, and realization is called Raga Bhakti. So by engaging in Vaidhi Bhakti, the rules and regulation to devotional service, this brings us back gradually, gradually, gradually to our original position of spontaneous love. Now we do it as a matter of regulation. I don't feel like getting up and early in the morning, but I do it, you see. I don't feel like chanting japa, Hare Krishna japa, but I do it because I know by doing these things, I'll revive my original spiritual nature, which will become a spontaneous position, you see. So as one engages in these regulated activities year after year, gradually, 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 the dust clears and you begin to actually feel your spiritual identity awakening within you. You actually begin to feel it. It becomes real. So we're encouraging everyone, please take up this process very seriously. Have faith in the spiritual master. We are followers of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Have faith in these teachings. Take help from senior devotees who are fixed in this process, who've been following Prabhupada for many, many years. Take help from them. Take guidance from them. Take inspiration from them. Because they've gone through it. They've stuck through it for many, many decades without going away. So if you will take guidance, blessings, and encouragement from them, that will give you strength, that will give you power to do the same thing. This is not some quick thing like, you know, chant Hare Krishna for 6 weeks and realize God. It's not like that. You expect to spend a whole lifetime doing this, you see. And then if you're lucky, maybe you'll realize Krishna at the time of death. You see. Or if you're really very, very, in rare cases, you can actually realize Krishna before you leave your body, fully realize Krishna. That's also possible, Prabhupada explains. You can become liberated even before you leave your body, fully liberated. So that's possible also. We should strive for that. So we have a few minutes left. If there's any questions? Here's number one. First question. Okay. The Gita tells Arjuna to fight the war of religiousness and not to opt for a life like yours. Please explain. Actually, I'm also a warrior. I'm a warrior. I'm fighting ignorance. Arjuna's weapon was a bow and arrow. My weapon is Prabhupada's teachings. So it's not that we are not warriors. Prabhupada said preaching means fighting. We're fighting a battle of Kurukshetra right now. It's longer than 18 days. And our battle is the whole world right now is being misguided by political leaders who are of the quality of rakshasas or man-eating demons. So we're fighting a very, very intense war of propaganda to drive back the illusion that has been perpetuated for many, many thousands of years upon the poor people of this planet by corrupted leaders who are interested in their own sense gratification. It all began 5,000 years ago when one little Brahmin boy cursed a pious king. Ever since then, we've seen increasing, increasing, increasing degradation on this planet. The point is, you do whatever Krishna tells you to do, or whatever Krishna's representative, the spiritual master, tells you to do. That's the point. That's the point. The point is to follow higher authority, Krishna or Krishna's representative. Arjuna's instruction was fight a war. Krishna didn't say that we should all be warriors. He said what he taught us, the principle that we have to follow is Sarvadharman Paritjaja, Mam Ekam Shadadang Braja, Ahang Tong Parvabhavyo, Mokshe Shami Mashuchaha. Give up all other obligations and simply surrender to me. That is our position. Whatever, we are the Sankirtan movement, Krishna came again as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago. Srila Prabhupada explains that just as Krishna told Arjuna to surrender to him, that surrender in this age takes the form of the Nama Sankirtan movement, spreading the congregational chanting of the holy names. So that is our five.
What about the poor people outside the ashram?
Hmm?
What about the poor people outside the ashram?
Poor people outside the ashram. Yes. As we discussed in the Bhagavatam class this morning, the scarcity on this planet is due to the fact that yajna is not being performed. Try to hear. This is not your class, it's mine. Okay? I'm answering your question and you're not listening to my answer. Okay? You have to hear. That's how you'll learn. The scarcity is due to a lack of God consciousness. Poor people, starving people means because yajna is not being performed. We have the largest vegetarian food relief organization in the whole world, Krishna Kindness Movement. But the actual solution for all the scarcities on this planet is to introduce the wide-scale chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Not only will this feed their bellies, but this will also liberate them from the cycle of birth and death. So, you had your question, now we have some other questions. You have to wait your turn.
I'm not satisfied.
All right, then you'll have to wait. That's all. You're not the only person. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How to stop finding faults in others? Well, the easy thing is you look for faults in yourself. Now let me ask you all, is anybody here completely free from faults? Of course, this gentleman was free from faults, we know that. But everybody else, is anybody else here completely free from faults? So the easy way to not be a nitpicker who's always looking, they got all these faults. Look for your faults. That's the key. And then you won't become guilty of looking for the bad in everyone else. Look for the bad of yourself and look for the good in the others. That's the key. Sometimes I've heard that we should wage war against Maya and something besides. I'm going to read one. I'll take one that I can read the handwriting. Please write neatly. Why we forgot our eternal relation to Krishna as his eternal servant. Prabhupada explains its misuse of independence. We're not getting enough volume. Thank you for pointing it out. How to be in pain of devotional on the path of devotional service consistently. Well, that's why getting initiated is a very important thing, because now you've made a commitment. I've taken a vow to the spiritual master, and if I don't keep my word, I'm gonna put him in difficulty. Prabhupada wrote Jai Pataka Swami a letter. He said that the spiritual master has to take birth again, and he has to remain in this material world until all of his disciples go back to Godhead. So when you take a spiritual master, you got to be kind upon him and not keep him stuck in the cycle of birth and death by not being serious about devotional service. So if you take initiation, it's a very, very solemn commitment that I'm committing myself to follow the spiritual master's orders. And I understand if I don't do that, I'm putting myself in difficulty. I'm also putting him in difficulty. Okay, let's see here. Text 16, the third line of the purport. A devotee never takes part of a particular party, therefore he is car-free. Particular party, in the material world, there's so many parties. It's like in the U.S. we have the Democrats and the Republicans. I don't know about India, but, you know, somebody can be really into being a Democrat or Republican, but actually they're all at fault. These political parties are, they're all selfish and greedy. They just want to push for their own agenda. Where is that politician who is like the caliber of Maharaj Pariksit, who is simply acting as a selfless well-wisher of all living beings, who's willing to risk his own life even to protect an innocent cow within his kingdom? Where do we see a political leader who's willing to risk his own life to save a cow's life? That is the proper political leader. You see, every citizen, he'll risk his life to save even an animal within his kingdom, what to speak of a human being. Where do we see such? There's no such political leaders. They're all self-interested. Therefore, there's one group of self-interested rascals and another group of self-interested rascals. Why we should take sides with such self-interested rascals? Doesn't make any sense. I've heard that we should wage war against Maya, whereas Durga Devi is a pure devotee of Krishna. What should be our disposition regarding Durga Devi? Well, Durga Devi or Maya Devi has a twofold function. For those who want to forget Krishna, she gives full facility to keep you in illusion. She completely entangles you in the material energy because you wanted him. And if you want to get out of illusion, you want to come to the position of pure devotional service, then Maya Devi will actually help you, or Durga Devi will help you. So, that's how you have to understand. Described by Lord Brahma that Durga Devi acts in accordance with the will of Krishna. So she's there to facilitate those who want to be in illusion. She's also there to facilitate those who want to get out of illusion. So your relationship should be, I want out of illusion. And Durga Devi will help you to do that. Okay, let's see if we have any more questions here. Anybody else have a question? We have a few minutes left. In the temple, Bhagavan Sri Radha Krishna Darshan, minimum, how long does it take Darshan? You should take Darshan for all of eternity, actually. How long I take darshan of the deity? He said, eternally take darshan of the deity. The minimum time for darshan is all of eternity. We have to take the form of the Lord into our heart. Actually, the Lord is already within our hearts. We have to take that darshan so seriously. When we take the darshan, that we can actually... That Krishna will become fully manifest within our own hearts. So we can always see Krishna. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaivra hidayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaram achyant yuganas varupam govindam adiputusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the Prime Evil Lord, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. Srila Prabhupada said, it's not a question of seeing Krishna once. Like they will say, well, have you seen Krishna? Let me see. For the pure devotee, there's no question of seeing Krishna once. He is constantly seeing Krishna. So that is the darshan we should take. How we can always see Krishna. Jagannatha Shami Nayana Patagami Bhavatame. course, it's not that you gate crash your way in. Krishna, I want to see you. No. You'll never see Krishna. If you want to see Krishna, you have to qualify yourself that Krishna wants to see you. And then you will see Krishna. Although Krishna is very kind. Prabhupada tells one story. How kind is Krishna? There was one thief. And the thief, you know, his business is to steal. So there was some Bhagavatam class going on. So he went to the class to see if he could steal something from one of the devotees hearing the class, you see. And while he was hearing the lecture, he heard the speaker saying, Krishna, there is a boy Krishna, and he is wandering in Vrindavan, a little boy without any parental supervision. He's wandering in the Vrindavan forest loaded with valuable jewels. And the thief went, aha, I will go to Vrindavan, I will find that boy, and I will become a millionaire overnight. So he's walking all across India. There was no Indian railways or no jet airways or anything. He was walking, no bicycles or taxis. He was walking across India. I will go over to Vrindavan. I will find that boy. So he came to Vrindavan. He's wandering all over Raj, huge area of Raj Mandal. Walking. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Ah, that boy with all the jewels. So Krishna was so kind, even though he came simply to steal the jewels, Krishna revealed himself to that thief, Prabhupada explained. So the thief said, oh, Krishna, you have so many nice jewels. Can you give me some? And then Krishna, he played the role of being the scolded son of Yashodamati. He said, no. Mother Yashoda, she will scold me. But then the thief, he was blessed. Krishna said, he became purified by the interaction with Krishna. And Krishna said, all right, you can take. So sometimes even those who have all material desires, they can see Krishna. What to speak of those who come in pure love, you see, the devotees. My dear Lord, I want to surrender to you. Anyone who comes in that mood, that my dear Lord, I want to surrender myself fully unto you, that day will come and they will see Krishna face to face. That day will come for every one of those devotees who sincerely want to surrender to Krishna. So you should go for the eternal darshan, Prabhu. But as far as the... it depends. As far as the temple program goes, it depends. If you take it the darshan time, then you go 1, 2, 3, and then you go over for Guru Puja, you know, according to the temple program. But if you're just there at your own time, you can stand there for hours if you want. Prabhupada used to, when he was a boy, he used to go to that Radha Krishna temple across the street from his house in Calcutta. He would stand there for hours taking darshan, Prabhupada explains, when he was a boy. Even for hours he would take the darshan. So there's no limit. If you have some free time, you have no service, no duty, you can take darshan for hours. There's no limit. Oh, you're only allowed this much darshan. The idea is to take that darshan so deep within your heart that you can see Krishna wherever you go. You see, that is real darshan. So we got time for one more question. Anybody have a question? Or we will adjourn early. I see there are no more. Did I answer all the questions? I had a hard time reading one of them. Any questions didn't get answered? Everyone's question was answered. So it looks like we've covered everything. So now we have some treat for you all. We have some Krishna Balaram Mahaprasad. Everyone can come and get some prasadam, and we thank you all very much. Raja Vidra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi.